these are introductory remarks. I probably shall not give you much in detail, but consider it in an overall picture. I'll read certain parts of Hebrews 11, and then we'll consider the significance of it. Look at the last verse of chapter 10, first of all. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. For therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith, we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness in respect of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him. For he hath had witness borne to him that before his translation he had been well pleasing unto God. And without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing unto him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out. 9. By faith he became a sojourner. Verse 10. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith even Sarah herself received power to conceive. Now look at verse 10. He looked for the city which hath foundations. Now look at verse 26 concerning Moses, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. Verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, being tried, offered up Isaac. Look at verse 20. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. 21. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. 22. By faith Joseph, when his end was nigh, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones, and so forth. Now, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time will fail me, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens. Women received their dead by a resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's all we'll read for now. Let's speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the portion that we have read this night. We would not think such things possible. But had we not even had the New Testament, we would have been able to read of these things in the Old. But now thou hast brought to our attention the things of the Old, explained and emphasized in the New. We thank you. The things written aforetime were written for our comfort, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So this night, our God, impart that comfort and the hope to us that is intended to be imparted by the consideration of the whole of the Word of God. Thou knowest our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And you know the heart of the people of God. Thou knowest our frame, thou knowest what we are. So prepare their hearts and the lips of him who speaks, and give us a profitable, enjoyable time together, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We come to chapter 11, finally, because as early as the fourth chapter, and then in the sixth chapter, and the other chapters, we find mentions of faith. But when you come to chapter 11, you have an abundance of faith. But at the same time, before you get to this chapter of faith, you get the warning about the absence of faith. When you have the word faith, or believe, or this word, unbelief, it all comes from the same root word. And so to have faith, to believe, to have you an evil heart of unbelief, they all are based upon the same word, and that is faith. And chapter 11 is introduced by verse 39 of chapter 10. It speaks of two classes of people. It speaks of those that have faith, and it speaks of those that shrink back. If you shrink back, faith is missing. If you continue on, if you endure, then there is the salvation of the soul. If you shrink back, there is perdition. But now notice, it speaks about, we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul, that have faith. And then, immediately, he tells us about faith. But, what he does in verse 1 is not give us so much a definition of faith as a description of the potential of faith. If you ask me for a definition of faith, I would never turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1, because that is a description of the potential of faith. But a definition of faith is this. It is that of which a person is persuaded. That is the basic meaning. Faith is that a person has been persuaded as to the truth, the reliability of a thing, and he believes it. That is a definition of faith. But listen to this, and I read from the 1901, and I'll tell you a little bit about the definition. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. You say, that's strange. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Well, that's not telling me what faith is. That's telling me a description of the potential of faith. And faith is a conviction of things not seen. So remember, we have here a description of the potential of faith. If I said this, money is power. Is that a definition of money? You say, no. Money is a specie. Money is a medium of exchange, yes. But is money power? You say, yes, it is. But when I tell you that money is power, it is a description of the potential of money. And if I tell you what faith is, it's what I defined it as. But now, what he is telling us is a descriptive potential of faith. And so when it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen, he is giving us a description of the potential of faith. And two things must be noticed. Two things, or else you will not understand the necessity of this quality in the believer's life. Notice, faith is assurance of things hoped for, so that is the future. A conviction of things not seen, that is the invisible. And so faith pertains to the future and to the invisible. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8. It speaks about hope, but it says, who hopes for that which he seeth? For if he seeth it, why does he yet hope for it? You don't. But if there is something that pertains to the future, well, it is something that is hoped for, but it is in the future and it's not yet realized. And at the same time, if it is something that is unseen, then it is the realm of the invisible. And why we must understand about faith is that your entire life as a child of God has to do with the future and with the invisible. You say, well, what about the present? Show me the salvation that's in your heart. Would you show me that? You say, why, it's invisible. I see. Show me heaven to which Christ is going to prepare you a place. You say, why, I can't show you that. I see. And the promises in the Word of God, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Is that the present or the future? You say, that's the future. And so all of these things that we preach, I preach that if you're a sinner and you trust Christ as Savior, your sins will be forgiven. And if I tell you, you've trusted in the precious blood of Christ, yes, your sins are forgiven. Now show me your heart after you've had faith in Christ and before you had faith in Christ. You say, I can't do it. But I tell you that afterwards, God has done something to you. He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so the entire life of the child of God is in the area of the invisible and as to the future and trusting in promises that have not yet been fulfilled. The only difference is this. It says in Titus chapter 1, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. You see? But it's in hope of eternal life. Because God tells us we have it now. We pass from death unto life. But as to the future entering into it, in its fullness, that is a promise of God. And it says it is a promise that is certain to be fulfilled. And so for that reason, chapter 11 is absolutely essential if you and I are going to live as victorious children of God, enjoying to the full God's so great salvation, entering into the abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give. And if you do not have that faith, you will miserably fail because everything I'm telling you tonight is something that's invisible. I tell you that Jesus loves you. Have you ever heard him tell you that? You say, no, I have felt it within. Well, that's something invisible. Your emotions are things that are invisible. Is he coming again? Yes. That's something that has to do with the future. Has he prepared a place in heaven? Yes. Have you ever seen it? You say, no. Well, all of these things pertain to the future and to the area of the invisible. And without faith, you cannot enter into them. And that is why, unless God miraculously intervenes and in a man's heart brings about this faith, as the Word of God can, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, so God can use His Word, and then His Spirit can make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is why the natural man, unassisted, can never understand the things of God. And the carnal Christian is unable to understand them and enter into them as well. So, What he's telling us here is that the very thing that we need, since we are dealing with the future and invisible things, we need faith. And what is the potential of faith? It is this. Faith is, and we may translate it this way, it is the giving substance to things hoped for. You see, the things hoped for are without substance. But if you have faith, they are given substance. And also it says, it is a conviction of things not seen. So, the only proof, and here the word elenko, it's the word that the Spirit of God will convict, and when he convicts, then he proves to you one thing or another thing. And so faith is a proof, a conviction of things not seen. What is my conviction of this invisible area? It is faith, and faith convicts, and faith proves to me the existence and the reality of these invisible things. And it's the only way you're ever going to make the invisible become proven. It is through faith. And for that reason, when an unbeliever comes and says to you, prove these things that you're telling to me, you'll have to say, I'm unable to do it. But I assure you this, that if you place your faith in Christ, Christ, because of that faith, will prove these things to you. They say, there is no substance to what you are saying. I tell you, if you have faith, it will give substance to all of these things that pertain to the future. And I've lived for ever so many years dealing with the future and with invisible things, and I have enjoyed them as if they were realities and as if they were certainties. And the only way to do that is by the exercise of faith. And that's what he's telling us, first of all. What about the future? It says, faith gives substance to future things, that the only way that can be given substance is by that faith. Here is Abraham. He looked for the city that had foundations. And it says that Moses looked for the recompense of reward. Here are future things, and here are things that faith wrought in the heart of these men of faith gave substance to these things. And the proof that they were going to enter into these things and enjoy these things, a conviction, was the faith that was in them. So, you say, I've placed my faith in Christ, that's just the beginning. You find the just shall live by faith three times in the New Testament. Romans 1, Galatians 3, and Hebrews 10. And you may use it in three distinct aspects. The faith that justifies, therefore being justified by faith, and the faith that lives the Christian life, and the faith that overcomes all the obstacles that confront us. And you may look at it each time. The just shall live by faith. And it doesn't say that salvation is faith, but it's from faith unto faith. That is the beginning. And our Savior in Hebrews is spoken of as the author and finisher of our faith. And so we can grow in faith. But without it, we shall miserably fail. John says the same thing. He says in the first epistle of John, it says, he that believeth that Christ is the Son of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. John says, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the author of Hebrews says, faith is the victory that gives substance to the hoped for things, that gives proof of the invisible things. And so you must have faith. You have it initially when you trust Christ. And the Lord Jesus tells his own disciples, he said, you have little faith. And they wanted that faith increased. That was a good request. We can't go into that now. But remember, there is little faith. And if you place your faith in Christ, it may be little, it may be small, but it can grow. And if it grows, then you may develop into an example like unto these in Hebrews chapter 11. All right, let me tell you this, first of all. That God's expectations of those that have claimed faith in His Son are great expectations. because all the things that you read in Hebrews chapter 11 are great expectations of God. Let me ask you this. Do you think if you had never seen rain and God told you there was going to be a flood, do you think that you would have faith to begin and labor for decades in the building of an ark? You say that is a lot to expect of a man. Let me ask you this. If your wife were 90 years old and you were 100 years old and God told you you were going to have a child, do you think that you could expect that? You say, that would be a great expectation. And unless there were faith, a person would laugh. And yet it said that by faith, Sarah received power to conceive. You understand? Now let me ask you this. If you had a son, an only son whom you loved by Sarah, and God said, offer that son to me as a sacrifice, could you do that? You say, I do not know. I tell you, all of these expectations in Hebrews 11 are great expectations. And so if you're a child of God and you've initially placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God expects all of these things of you. He expects of them, you say, but he expects them of me? Why, of course. If he did not expect them of you, why do you think that he would teach us about faith? And why would he seek to instill faith in us if we had none of these expectations to be experienced in our lives? And for that reason, there are two scriptures I would tell you about. It says this, remember the former days in which, after you were enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering. And so here is the peace of God that passeth understanding, but also there is the endurance by the children of God of a great conflict of sufferings. And it says also in chapter 12, you have not yet resisted unto blood. And so God expects that of you. You say of me, yes, he expects it of you. And the reason that perhaps you haven't been interested in this kind of faith is that you have no intention. If God says, give me your son, you're not going to give God your children. You're going to selfishly keep them for yourself. And at the same time, if God says, I want you to leave your homeland and I want you to go to a country that you know not of, you have no intention of leaving security. And when God does expect these things of you and bring them to your attention, if you have faith as the faith of Abraham, then you're able to realize in your life these great expectations of God. But if faith is missing, you will miserably fail, and you'll stay in Ur of the Chaldees, and you'll never leave your homeland. You will never leave your loved ones. And if you have not the faith of Abraham, if God says, give me your children, you'll never give God your children. And if you're in line to be Pharaoh in Egypt, and God says, I want you to leave the treasures of Egypt, and I want you to go and lead this miserable company of slaves into the promised land. Unless you have the faith of Moses, you will never give up being Pharaoh in Egypt. And so, of course, you haven't been worried about faith, because if you're in line to be Pharaoh, you're going to stay in line to be Pharaoh. And you're going to keep your children. And you're going to stay where you are secure and you know these things. But once the will of God comes home to your heart and you deal with it seriously, then you'll start searching in the scripture for strength to live out the great expectations of God. And then you will appreciate all that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. And so remember this. The expectations of God in Hebrews 11 are great, and God expects these to be fulfilled in your life. And he shows us that these expectations can be fulfilled by this gallery of examples that he gives us in Hebrews chapter 11. Show me anything that God will ever demand of you that is more difficult than some of these things mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You say, well, the things that you've mentioned have been severe, yes, but it says about the torture of some people, about some people being sawed in two. You think through this and you'll say, how great are these demands? And yet, there is not one failure in this chapter. You'll find in the earlier chapters, there is abundance of failure. They were not able to enter in because of unbelief. But it says, we who have believed do enter in. And so, we have believed, we enter in, but then that's the beginning. And the faith that initially delivered us from the penalty of sin, we need that faith continually to deliver us from the power of sin. And thank God, eventually it will deliver us from the very presence of sin. And so what God has done is to lay before us these great expectations. Notice, he says, you have not as yet resisted unto blood. It may be that he will require it later. He says, after you were saved, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. But most of us today don't know anything about a great conflict of suffering, and we don't know anything about enduring unto blood. Perhaps the greatest suffering I've ever had is someone to take a tract that I've given them, to wad it up in their hand and throw it down in front of me, or to rebuke me if I tried to tell them about Christ. This would be nothing to these examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Absolutely nothing. But we think it's a great sacrifice, but God has greater expectations of us. And this is what he said to Ananias. He said, you go and see Paul. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. And so if God desires, and you are a choice vessel, he will show you how many things you must suffer for his sake. And then you will scramble back to Hebrews chapter 11 and learn about these individuals. All right, I'll tell you a little bit about this gallery of faith. First of all, before he mentions any individuals of the past, he mentions the believers of the present. Look at verse 3. It says, by faith we understand. Now in 2, it says the elders of the past had witness borne to them. He hasn't told us. The witness is going to come later on. But then the first thing is by faith we understand. So, this is most important. It's most important for this reason, child of God. Science is making an encroachment into your life, and it would destroy you of your faith in Christ. How am I going to prevail? It says, by faith, we understand that the world has been framed by the word of God. It's the only way you're going to ever. Who has ever been back when creation began? You find the scientists trying to get back, and then they have theories as to how all of it began. They will never know. There will only be theories as to how it began. But I know how it began. And the only way I do know is by faith. Listen, by faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. God is telling us that there was one time nothing that appeared, and then by his word, things did appear. And it says, we understand this by faith. You'll never understand it scientifically. You understand it by faith. And he tells you that first of all. So you say, well, in the realm of science, then faith is that which gives victory. Of course it does, by faith. Now, first of all, it's an inclusive example, but then he starts mentioning individual examples. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch. And then he goes giving individual examples of faith. Then, eventually, he comes to Moses, an individual. But then it says, verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. And having exhausted these examples, look at verse 32. And what shall I say more? For time will fail me if I tell of, and then instead of saying, by faith Abraham went out into a country, he just mentions these names. He says, I will tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And then he tells you a little bit, ever so briefly, as to what faith accomplished in their lives. And then there are some whom he has not mentioned by name. And when he mentions them, you know who they are, though they are not mentioned by name. Let me ask you this. It says, who through faith stopped the mouths of lions? Who do you think that is? Some brother tell me. Who? Of course. But I could have told you also David, and I could have told you also Samson, because the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and he rent that lion in two. But I believe it's referring to David. And when it says, quench the violence of fire, who could help but think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you see? And when it says, women had their dead returned to life, you say, why, of course, that widow, in the case of Elijah and Elisha, their children, well, of course. And so at times, some are named and some are unnamed. And all of those that crossed the Red Sea at that time, it says they did it by faith. So some are mentioned by name, and in detail, the exploits of their faith is given, and others are simply mentioned by what faith accomplished, and then God says, you fill in their name. I don't have to do it for you. And then there are some things that are mentioned, and not even experts can tell you exactly to what it refers. You may have to go back looking in the history of Israel and see when kingdoms were subdued. That could be in the book of Judges, because so many of the judges, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, all of them had great accomplishments, and some of them would fight the enemy, and then God would subdue the enemy, and they would give peace for a period of time, and they wrought righteousness, and you would go on. But then as to who was sawed in two, they say, well, history says that Isaiah was, and they go on, but we're not sure. But it tells us of every suffering imaginable, and it says all of them overcame. Now, two things. Understand, first of all, that there are acts that are active faith and passive faith for this reason. It says in verse 32, if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, do you see? This is faith acting. But now look, there are others. Look at verse 35. This is not faith doing anything. Verse 35 says, women receive their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured. It's not what you're doing, it's what you're refraining from doing. It is your enduring of torture and of pain, and faith is able to actively give you victory, and it is able passively to give you victory. And this is what is so remarkable. Most of us want to escape pain, but it says some could have escaped, but it said they did not accept deliverance because they wanted to obtain a better resurrection. That is their certainty, and that is what faith can do. I look at you, I look at now, and I say, the only thing I'm certain of is today and what I can see and experience with my senses. These men of faith said, you torture me. It means that I'm going to get a better resurrection. And look at Moses. It says, he forsook the treasures of Egypt, considering the reproach of Christ of greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. He didn't do it because it's the thing to do, and it's all going to end in this life. It said he looked for the recompense of reward. There was a position that was higher than Pharaoh in Egypt, and Moses was looking, and what enabled him to do that? You say, by faith. Now, here is Abraham. Abraham, by faith, when God said, offer up your son. Yes, Lord. At the same time, there were others. Pharaoh had demanded that the Hebrew children be killed. And it says, by faith, Moses' parents preserved Moses, did not destroy him, as Pharaoh told him to. And so there are times when evil things are told you by authorities to be done, and faith causes you to resist the authorities. And that is why Moses was preserved alive. And then later on in life, do take this consolation. It doesn't come at once. Here is Moses, and he's 40 years of age. And then he sees the hardship of the people of God. But what about the first 40 years? He didn't do anything till then. And then he had to flee for his life. There were 40 more years. And after these 80 years, finally, God had prepared him to do the work that he wanted him to do. Do not be discouraged about the length of time it takes to accomplish this faith by the Spirit of God in your heart. Let it be as early as possible, but it shall come in time if you let God work in your heart. And then when that happens, it makes no difference whether you're a man, because it speaks of Abraham and Moses, or whether you're a woman. It speaks of Sarah, and it speaks of Rahab. It doesn't matter what you have been in the past, because Rahab was a harlot, whereas Sarah was an honorable woman. And it doesn't matter whether it is something small or something great. Faith can accomplish them all. And in the lives of some, look at Abraham. One example, two examples, three examples, and so forth. Here is Abraham. Others, I wonder, why did not God give an example, and you think of others who could have been so readily mentioned in this chapter, and then why would God, of all the things that Jacob ever did, why would he mention this example of faith? That is something to consider as well. But as the author of Hebrews considered the lives of these saints, he looked and examined those lives, and he said, here is something that is commendable, and I'm going to record it in the Scriptures. Now tell me, is there anything that God could find in your life that he could write down in the Bible? Is there? Are you a man, a woman of faith? Tell me, the life that you live, is it one that is victorious, like these examples that the author of Hebrews gives? Or is your life one of defeat? Well, if it's one of defeat, it's because you lack that faith. But if you do lack that faith today, it doesn't mean that you have to lack it tomorrow. Because the faith that is initially yours, it can grow, and the faith that justifies, it can also overcome the world. It can enable you to fulfill every demand and every great expectation that God gives. And then after perhaps 40 years, then God will write down about you by faith Moses when he was of age. So take courage. Faith is the answer. Faith is that which is essential, because we as Christians deal with the future and with the invisible. But faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the conviction of things not seen. Time is gone.